Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Ernest, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Also, I think it's important to talk about how to fully, what is having a black business really mean? And even black businesses that sell. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, a lot of times when black businesses sell, there's a tremendous push on social media to call them a sellout, or to, you know, and you actually are hurting the valuations of companies. And your negative comments are costing people hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Because a company is like, okay, well, now if I buy a black business, I'm going to have to deal with pushback that I don't have to deal with if I buy a white business. Mm-hmm. So just that, their valuation might be 500 million, but I'm only paying 300 million. But what you don't understand, what you guys are failing to understand, is that liquidation events usually are the only time where you can actually get a large sum of money. Even if you have a $100 million business, you might be running on thin margins. and you're not really making that much money. Mm-hmm. And if you get $300 million, now you can actually affect change, because it's been actually proven that Black people usually spend money with Black people. So now the entrepreneur that just sold their business for $300 million is gonna circulate back into the Black economy somehow. Because she'll probably start a new business, right?
Or be an angel.
She's gonna invest in other businesses. Mm-hmm. She's gonna hire Black people. Mm-hmm. This is gonna trickle, and it's gonna be actually more beneficial than if she would have kept the business, because now she might be only making $1 million a year. Right now she gets $300 million. We need more uber rich Black people. We don't have enough outside of sports and entertainment. So it's like a lot of people that's uneducated on social media with negative comments, you don't realize how dangerous you are, because you actually do have power.
Yeah.
Because you control social equity. So your one comment leads to a domino effect of 1,000 comments, and that leads to a variety of things that happen outside of the realm of your understanding. And you're not able to understand what you're doing, but you're actually having a very negative effect on Black businesses and Black economy, period. And just from a negative standpoint of just negative comments, you know, it's like, you just gotta be very careful of using words like, oh, sellout, or you did this, or like,
I'm not supporting anymore.
No, it's just, it's something that I think, you know, you just gotta be extremely careful of, because without knowing it, you're actually part of the problem.
Yeah, because you're a customer base, right? So if said company is saying that they're gonna buy this company for $500 million, right? They're looking at it like, well, if I buy it for $500 million and 20% of your customer base says they're no longer supporting you because I'm buying it, then the valuation comes down. So we got to be mindful of the position that we're in, right? That we should be feeling like, hey, this is an accomplishment. Yes, they can now pour it back. They've now reached a certain level. They can create new funds. They can give new opportunities to other people, rather than saying, oh, the product is going to change because you sold it to this company now.
And what people don't realize is most businesses don't even make it to the second generation. So what would you rather have? Would you rather have a Black entrepreneur that starts a business that sells it for $400 million? And like I said, the odds are they'll probably start another business. So they're going to circulate this money somehow. Or would you rather them have a business that is successful, that runs into the ground and becomes Jet Magazine? Because you're not gonna be able to bail them out when they're bankrupt, when there's no longer support, when people are saying that they're corny now, when they become FUBU, right? And now they're saying that no, they're just corny, and we don't want to wear their designs anymore. Now, where's the support for them, right? Where's the outcry of, damn, we should have supported this company? You're not gonna raise a fund to give them $400 million. And it's not beneficial when they go bankrupt. Nobody benefits in that situation.
Exactly.
Nobody benefits when the company gets run into the ground. Nobody benefits when the founder dies and then the kid takes it over and has no idea what he's doing. And then in 5 years, it's going to be gone. But that's the life cycle of business. Business has a life cycle. Just like people have life cycles. Very few businesses last 300 years, 500 years. Of course, that's rare.
Very rare.
Can't do it, but it's not common. It's not common. So it's like sometimes you got to take emotion out of it and really think from a rational standpoint. What are you getting in business for? You're getting in business to change people's lives, to have a product, but to ultimately make money. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah. Should the founders that get these large liquidation events, should they be obligated to give a percentage to the community through investing or reinvesting back into the company in the same fashion that we have like other entities do it? Or do you think there should be no obligation towards that? Because sometimes when these events happen, people feel as if, well, that's great for them, but like, what do I get out of it?
Nothing. You get nothing out of it.
What did you
get from buying Nike for 100 years? This is the thing. And Gilbert Arenas has said something, and he was like, I never heard a white kid saying like the first thing he wants to do is buy his mom a house. I never heard a white person ever get asked, what did you do for your community? Nothing. Did nothing for my community. Right? Like, we put so much pressure.
But that's because the system inherently does for that community, though.
Look, it's not anybody's responsibility to change the trajectory of a billion people's lives. It's going to happen by accident. That's what I'm trying to get you to say. Like, If a black person gets rich, it's going to benefit black people by accident. Yeah. Now, whatever they want to do on top of that is great. But nobody should be held to this standard of, well, what did you what did you do? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people ask all the time, like, well, what did you do for your community? What did you do for your community?
Oh, what are you currently doing?
You've been there for 30 years. Well, I'm not a millionaire. Yeah. Okay, you could coach a basketball team.
You can do it. Yeah, you can get the money that you have.
You could clean up. You could just have a cleanup project on Saturday and just clean up the park. It doesn't cost anything. You could have a mentorship program. What did you do? So I think that black people have a problem with a savior. We have a savior problem. There's no savior. There's, I'm going to be honest with you. A white savior is not coming to save us, but a black savior is not coming to save us either. Nobody's coming to save us. It's a collective. It's a collective. Once you work as a collective, then you understand that every person in society has a responsibility. Every person in society has a responsibility. Some people's responsibilities are bigger than others, but if we look at it from that collective standpoint, you never see it. I've never seen a Chinese person ever say, like, this is my savior. A Japanese, they understand it. They understand collectiveness, and that comes from the communist standpoint, but they just understand that it's a collective. You do your part, I do my part, and if we all do our part, then that's how we're going to rise. As opposed to Michael Jordan writing a check for $50 billion, where's that going to go? We've seen that happen. Mark Zuckerberg gave Newark, New Jersey $100 million. What happened? Charity is not the way. Charity is not a blueprint. Charity is not a blueprint for success. It's not sustainable. We've seen this in Africa. How much money has been poured into Africa? It's not sustainable. Charity, but we got to get out of this mindset of looking for charity. Do for yourself, help your family, everybody help each other. Then that's how everybody's going to rise together. Looking for somebody, nobody owes you anything. Nobody in life owes you anything. And I'm going to be honest with you, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to do anything for you anyway. So you looking for somebody to magically sprinkle something that's going to change your life. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy.
Not at all.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. And then sometimes, even if you do that, it's not appreciated, or entitlement kicks in, or betrayal after you give happens.
Or you didn't do enough.
Hey. If I gave you something and you switched up on me, can I get my money back, please? One time.
Return to sender. Return to sender, please.
Yeah.
But what do I know? Rashad, last question. What do you say to the people that said you changed after you went to Davos and you got your reptilian card? Let's end on a spicy note. And we got to talk about the other thing, too. Yeah.
Shout out to the reptilians out there.
The card is pending.
No.
That's funny.
You always got to think bigger than your horizons. I never thought of myself, even when I was local, I never thought of myself as a local person. Like, you know, always thought bigger. So, you know, there's always going to be negative people in this world, but I feel like the world is such a big place. You got to travel, you got to do business, you got to learn culture, you got to, you know, you got to do everything. Like, you got to be in Asia, you got to be in Africa, you got to be in Central America, you got to talk to billionaires, you got to talk to gang members, you got to talk to everybody. To get a full perspective of life.
Yep.
Gotcha.
But I will say this.
Gotcha.
If you hang around enough billionaires,
one day you'll become one, ain't it?
Yeah. Nah, you got a great chance.
You got a chance.
Just by mistake. Shout out to Neo Davis.